start a new series, and here is the name of it: Mind Blown. Oh, I know, you're excited. How many of you were blessed by the grace or roots teaching, whichever you want to call it? Was you blessed? Well, I'm so glad because, listen, I have these things in me that just roll in me. And I'll be honest with you. This series started from the idea that I love studying stuff that just blows my mind. There are things, I mean, women, y'all blow my mind. I look at my wife and I'm like, where are you? Yeah, you really are not from around here. I mean, there are times I just like, wow, you blow my mind. But in a serious way, there are things on this planet that blow my mind. There are things that just, it absolutely, first time I ever seen a fax machine work. Anybody with me on that? Fax machines, even to this day, it blows my mind how you can send an image over a phone line, right? And don't even get me started on the iPhones. The other day we were sitting at a ball diamond and a plane went over and they asked me, because I was prior Air Force, they said, what kind of plane is that? I said, it's commercial. It's not military. They said, are you sure? I said, I'm positive. That is not a military aircraft. They took their phone out, held it up, and tracked the plane, and it gave the flight number and where it came from and where it was going to, which is really scary. Really scary. But there really is an app that you can do that. It blew me away. I was like, I didn't know you could do that. And they're like, yeah, sure enough. Wow, that blew me away. Then there are things like, I love mechanical things, so there are things that blow me away. Matter of fact, I was over at Terrell's shop just the other day, and they have a 1916 Haynes Apperson vehicle they were working on. 1916. All right, now let me tell you a little bit about this vehicle. Not only is it made like a tank, all right, but check this out. There's a little valve in there that you can flip, and while the car is running, you can pump up your tire. You can pump up your tire from a vehicle that was made in 1916, y'all. Y'all picking up what I'm putting down? That blows my mind. Why? You don't have that on your car now. Right? Now, obviously, tires have come a long way, but the point being, it blew my mind. It blows my mind. There are things that just blow my mind. And that's what I think keeps life interesting. That's what I think keeps us learning. That's what keeps us learning about things. And can I tell you that oftentimes whenever it comes to the Bible or it comes to the things of God, that people are oftentimes bored to tears, as far as, well, you know, it's just the Bible, it's just this, it's just that. But really, I have learned that there are things about the Bible and things about God that blow my mind, absolutely blow my mind. So in this series, I'm going to do my best attempt to blow your mind over the next several weeks. And I've learned that the sound of people's minds blowing is this right here. So I'm not looking for your amens and all that, although that's appreciated and although there are times for you to do that. I recognize that your silence is going to tell me everything as far as if I'm blowing your mind today. So it's okay if it's not the normal amen and everything I say. It's okay. Listen, here's the truth. There are things that we should know about the Bible and about our culture that should blow our minds. That should blow our minds. I believe the God that we serve, if you really get to know him, he'll blow your mind, man. How many of you know that the teaching I just came from, it probably blew your minds? You're like, yeah, that blew me away, man. I didn't know we are forgiven of all of our sin. Yeah, you are. Well, hey, listen, with no further ado, let's get right into what I want to talk about now. Now, at first, it's going to seem like I'm not going anywhere, but I promise you I'm going to pull it all together here in the middle of it, all right? So here we go. Number one, let's look at Genesis Chapter 1, verse 14. Everybody say this with me. Everybody say, this is day four. Okay, so what day are we on? Fourth day of creation. Okay, now here we go. Then God said, let there be lights in the firmament and in the heavens and divide the day from the night and let them be. Now, there are four words that are about to be used. Now, in these four words, tell me which one doesn't belong. Tell me, it sounds like something you did in elementary, all right? Dog, cat, pig, car. All right? Okay, this is similar to that, all right? Tell me which one doesn't belong. Signs, seasons, days, and years. Signs, signs. The word signs seems to be out of place in the context. Because it's like, what do signs have to do with seasons, days, and years? Well, can I tell you, God hid that in there on purpose. Because believe it or not, God is always, God has always, will to communicate with humanity. Communicate with humanity. Communicate with humanity through things. Now, whenever we talk about signs, we all know what signs are. You see a sign on the side of the road, you know, and some of us ignore some of us don't. Right? But signs are there to indicate something else, okay? So a speed limit sign is there to indicate the speed you're supposed to drive. Right? Pretty simple. All right? Now listen, there are things when it comes to the earth that there are signs. There are signs that we should be paying attention to. There are signs that we should see. There are signs that happen that oftentimes we don't take note of. And if we miss the sign, we'll miss the whole message. All right, so get this. Let me go a little bit further. Check this out. And again, it'll seem like I'm not going anywhere, but I'm going to get somewhere with it. How many of you know the days of the week? Okay, let me say that again. How many of you know the days of the week? How many of you know how many days of the week are there? 7 days of the week. And it starts with Sunday and goes to Saturday. All right? Most of us know that, and it's a pretty common thing. But most of the time, we don't realize how unique, how awesome, and how powerful just the idea of the days of the week are. So let me go there for a second. There are 7 days in the week, and get this, every culture that has ever lived on the planet has had 7 days in their week. Every culture. This is something that is throughout human history. 6,000 years of human history, there's never been a country or a people that came along and had 8 days in their week or 5 days in their week. It's always been 7 days in their week. And get this, no matter what country, what nation you live in, it's always been the same names in the same order. You say, why, Pastor Charlie? Here's why. I'm going somewhere with this. It's always been, the first day has always been Sunday. We get that from the sun. The second day has always been Monday. And realistically, the name comes from moon day. Moon day. Then you have the third day, which is Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Each one is in reference to the planets. There are 7 days in the week. Biblically, there are seven planets. The Jews believe there are seven planets that go around the earth. Now, here's my point. What is unique about it is there are 7 days in a week, not eight, and not six or five. And every culture that has ever been has always observed those 7 days. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying so far? Very interesting, right? There's never been a culture that deviated, which tells me it's authored by God. Now watch this. How many of you have ever heard of the alphabet? Right? The alphabet, believe it or not, is connected to the solar system. I don't know if you know that, but every alphabet is consistently in all the earth, consistently 25 to 26 letters, deviates a little bit, not very much, always starting with an alpha, an A, and ending with a U or a Z or somewhere in that time frame. But it's typically 25, and it's sprinkled throughout with vowels, and consonants is the center, but then vowels, seven of them, there's always seven vowels, all right, in the alphabet. No matter what alphabet it is, all throughout human history, all throughout the world, there's no deviation. There's no deviation between days of the week, and there's no deviation between the alphabet. The alphabet comes from the stars. We got it from the stars. See, now, which brings me to this. Check this out. This is an interesting thing. There are 12 signs in the zodiac. Pastor Charlie, what are you talking about? Let me explain. Check this out. The alphabet, no one has ever deviated from it. It is always 25, 26 letters. Every culture on the planet has observed the same alphabet. Days of the week, same. Why? They both have their roots in the naming of the stars. If you believe modern day culture about the zodiac, most of us were taught that the zodiac is demonic. You should stay away from it and not read horoscopes and all that. How many of y'all hearing what I'm saying? Do I agree with that? Absolutely. I don't believe you should read your horoscope. Why? I believe that's polluted understanding of what the whole thing is about. Say, how do I get there? Here it is. Check this out. How many of you believe that the devil is a deceiver? All right. How many of you believe he has no ability to create? The only thing he can do is pollute. Right? Everybody get that? So he can't create things. He can only pollute things. And watch this. This is what I've learned about God. If you want to find something really powerful, find out what the enemy really tries to distort. If you find something that the enemy is really distorting and against, you'll find something that is really powerful. It always works that way. Always. It's stuff that people stay away from, that the enemy wants them to stay away from, that really oftentimes have hidden nuggets of the things of God hidden deep within it. And that's why the enemy doesn't want you to know about it. Say, how did that happen? It happens because the enemy knows if you get a hold of the truth, it'll open your eyes to see God in a whole new light and a new way, in new fashion. That's for sure. So, what am I saying with the stars? Let me explain. Jewish people and rabbis go all the way back and they say that God taught Adam the alphabet based upon the stars. He taught them the days of the week based upon the solar system, and he taught them the constellations based upon human history and what would happen in the earth. In our culture, if you study constellations, you're looked at as weird. But if you were Jewish and you go back just 150 years, you'll find out there are some major truths inside the stars. It's amazing to me that God is so awesome that even when he wants to communicate with spiritually dead people, he will use stars. Get this. When Jesus was born, what led them to a manger? A star. A star led them. A star. God used the stars to communicate what he was bringing into the earth. Did y'all get that? The stars before, let's go from Genesis all the way to Babylon. The stars were used. There was actually an entire tribe of the Jewish people called the Sons of Issachar. They actually were stargazers. They listen to this. They studied the stars to know what God was going to do. Pretty powerful, isn't it? There was a tribe of Israel. That's what they did, the Sons of Issachar. They watched the stars. Now watch this. When the children of Israel were taken captive, they were brought to Babylon. And Babylon began to pollute the star system and the understanding of what the stars are really all about. They polluted it. And they began to add in the horoscope idea, and they made the stars all about themselves instead of what they were actually there for. And that's how we ended up with our culture today. People looking at their horoscope and, okay, today I should stay on the couch all day and eat potato chips because I'm an Aries. Come on, man. That is not what that's all about. I want to teach you today what the stars are really all about. So how many of you know there are 12 zodiac signs? And we're going to bring it up here on the screen. Check this out. There are 12 zodiac signs. Everybody know those? Everybody seen them before? Surely you have. You've seen them all before. Let me give you a little bit of history and idea about the zodiac. The zodiac, there are 12 major signs, and there they are. Within each one, there are three minor constellations that support the main constellation, okay? There are three. So get this. There are 48 constellations total. And now watch how powerful this is. Every nation on the planet has had 7 days a week. Every nation on the planet has had an alphabet. Every nation on the planet has recognized the zodiac. Every nation. Why? Get this. For electricity has only been around for 197 years. If you take that in 6,000 years of human history, that's 3.28% of the time humans have had electricity. Before that, what we navigated by, what navigated the night sky, was the stars. The stars lit the sky. We live in a unique 3% of all of the planet has ever lived under powered light. Before that, it was always the stars. And before that, there was a lot of concentration on the stars and what they meant. So that most people, the constellations they can pick out now are the Big Dipper and the Small Dipper. How many of y'all know what I'm saying? If you get outside of that, people are clueless, typically. Do you know there's an app you can now take and take your phone? How many of you know this? There's an app you can take and lift up your phone and it'll tell you what constellations you're looking at. Y'all do? I blow your mind. Blow your mind. And then if an airplane flies by and you have the other app, you can say, well, they're going to Atlanta. Blow your mind. Blow your mind. Say, Pastor Charlie, what's so powerful about this? When you understand that the constellations were not made by man, they were made by God to say something. They are a sign of what we should know. They were created on the fourth day before Adam and Eve ever got here. Now, watch this. This is the power of it. Let's start with the first. The actual constellations, according to the Jewish people, starts. Hey, listen, let me stop right here. There's a book. I heard an older man, way older than me, 80s. Because if I say old, my kids say, oh, your age. No, not my age. About 80 years old, talking about a book he had found written in 1882 called The Gospel in the Stars. That's what the book is about, that thick. I have a copy of it. It's a PDF file, and I made a copy of it. I had to go and research it to find it. I finally found it. It was made in 1882, and it talks about the origin of languages, the origin of the days of the week, the origin of sun, moon, stars, origin of all kinds of things, and one of the major themes is the origin of the stars and where they got their names. And who named them? And I tell you, it'll blow your mind. It will absolutely blow your mind. So I'm going to give you a taste of that book based upon what I studied out and teach you what the proper understanding of the constellations are. And you will never look at the sky again. You will understand exactly what God was trying to tell you whenever it came to it. How many of you know there are 12 signs, right? And there are 36 deacons, which are under, you know, you have for every one major constellation, you have three supporting constellations, right? Yes. Is that a yes? Are y'all with me? There are 48 total. Everybody with that? All right, here we go. Number one, it always starts with Virgo. Believe it or not, it doesn't start in January, all right? It starts with Virgo. Virgo is an important figure in the Bible because she is called the, come on, she's the virgin. How many of you know that's an important deal in the Bible? Okay, some of y'all need to go back to Roman Catholic Church. How many of you know the virgin is the one who gave birth to Jesus? How many of you know that's a stinking miracle? I'm just saying, it's kind of a big deal. All right, Virgo, listen to this, Virgo, she is the figure of a woman lying prostrate with an ear of wheat in one hand and a branch in the other. The ear of wheat. Jesus is the bread of life. Yeah. He is the root and rod of Jesse. The rod and the wheat right there. Listen to this, the ear of wheat was the ear of wheat is the best seed and that is the brightest star in the entire constellation. That's Virgo, the virgin. Now watch this. The deacons, and I'm not going to take and go through all 12 with each deacon, but I just want you to see the several. Well, I'm going to give you a bunch though. Coma is the first deacon in the constellation Virgo. And it is the infant, the branch, listen to this, the desired one. Erroneously, a hare, it is a woman holding an infant. That's the first deacon. Now listen to the second deacon. Centurius, it is with a dart piercing a victim. It is the dual nature of Christ, also the victor. His name in Arabic and Hebrew means the despised. That's the second one. Now, the third deacon is called Boots. It is the great shepherd and harvester. If you ever see this constellation, he's standing there. He's got, well, it says the coming one holding a rod in one hand and a sickle in the other. He is the shepherd and he is the harvester of the earth. Now, here's the powerful part. And I won't say this, but only a couple hundred more times probably. This was written in the sky. God named the constellations, taught Adam what they meant, so that Adam would know how human history was going to unfold. So far, we have Virgo. Virgo speaks of those three things. Check this out. So now we move from there to Libra, the scales. Listen to this. Sign 2, Libra, the scales. It is a figure of a balanced scales with one end of the beam up and one down. It is, as in the weighing, some of the old planispheres show a woman holding the scales, but the bottom line is one scale is up, one scale is down. If you ever see our judicial system and a court system, they have scales, balanced scales, because the court is there to balance power and balance those things. But this one shows the scales completely tipped. Now get this. Think about it. The first constellation is Virgo, the virgin. And all the constellations within it, the deacons, speak of the virgin and what she's going to bear. She's going to bear a son, and his son, and the son is, he's going to be pierced. We know that. We know that he's also going to have a, he's going to be a harvester and carry a rod. Did y'all get that so far out of the Virgo? And now we move over here to this next one, the Libra, and now we have scales. Now watch this. Look at this. The name of the first star is Zubal, and it goes on. The meaning price deficit. Price deficit, Libra. Now watch the deacons. Listen to the deacon stars, all right? The deacons. The cross over there, it is advancing, called the Southern Cross. Anybody ever heard? There's a song about it. Anybody ever heard the Southern Cross? Yes. Southern Cross is actually a constellation. It is in the darkest, listen to this, it is near or south of the equator, depending on what time of the year, and it is the darkest in the darkest part of the sky all by itself. Say, Pastor Charlie, what are you saying? Think about it. Libra, the scales. Scales. How many of you know the scales are tipped against you because we are all in sin? We are all born in sin. How many of you know you're not a sinner? Come on, do we got to go back a week? Come on, you're not a sinner. You've been saved by grace, and you're in the body of Christ and all that stuff. But now listen, but you know when you were born, the scales were tipped against you, and you were with sin, right? Now watch this. Here's the power of this. It shows that in the darkest part of the sky, there's a cross. Second part of the deacon is this. It is slain, pierced to death, animal. Third one, the crown, which the serpent aims to take. If you ever see a constellation map, you'll see a serpent weave throughout it, goes all the way around it. And the serpent plays a huge role in the constellations and their understanding. If you just look at a constellation map, it doesn't make any sense. But if you break it down biblically, you'll understand, my goodness, there's a lot going on. So watch this. Watch this. The crown which the serpent aims to take is called the Northern Crown. Southern Cross connects to the Northern Crown. This deacon is vertical over Jerusalem once a year. Say, Pastor Charlie, what's that represent? What's all that mean? The scales were tipped against you. Sin destroyed us. Right? One would be slain, and pierce through. The serpent is intending to take the crown. What is the crown? The crown is humanity, us, from God. He was going to use sin against us because the scales were tipped against us. Y'all picking up what I'm putting? You smell what I'm cooking? All right. We're only in two. We've covered two major constellations and six deacons. Let's go into the next one. Picture two. Or no, this is actually that. Whenever I talked about this right here, the victim right here, slain, pierced to death, here's that animal right here. Here's what it looks like in the stars. Here, how about this, sign three, moving on. Scorpio. Here it is. Scorpio is a scorpion, the figure of a gigantic, deadly insect raising its tail, ready to strike. Anybody know who that's talking about? Come on, it's got to be the enemy. Look at this, the deacons that support Scorpio. The first, listen to this, the first deacon in Scorpio is called the serpent. I didn't name these. These have been around for 6,000 years in all of human history, in all cultures. The serpent struggling with Jesus. A mighty man wrestling and restraining the serpent, stung, listen to this, I can't make this stuff up, stung in one heel and the other foot on the serpent's neck. Does anybody know the Bible verse that says that the enemy will bruise his heel? Genesis chapter 2? Or Genesis chapter 3, yeah, the fall of man. Where God is speaking a curse on your heel. Your heel. 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 Who's it talking about? Talking about Jesus. He is the mighty one. Look at this. Crushing the serpent with the other foot. Look at this. The other two deacons. So that's the first deacon. All right. The first deacon is right here. Serpent struggling. Look at the next two deacons. Hercules, Hercules, Hercules. That's the second deacon in Scorpio. What is it? Get this. Wounded in his heel, the other foot over the dragon's head, holding in one hand a golden apples and a three-headed dog of hell, and in the other hand, uplifted club. It's Jesus about to whip somebody with a stick, man. Look at this. Hercules was a God-begotten man. That's what they believed. That's how we got the idea of Hercules in the earth. He was a God-begotten man. Hercules is actually, if you go all the way back to the root understanding of Hercules, it was actually talking about Jesus Christ, the God-begotten man in the earth. Wow. How about this? Sign four. Sagittarius is the bowman. The figure of a horse with a body. Now, everybody look at me. How many of you have ever seen C.S. Lewis's movies? I said Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe. That's one of them, right? Yeah, and then Narnia. Chronicles of Narnia. How many of you have seen the horse-bodied men? Okay, C.S. Lewis knew a little bit about astronomy. And really, the horse man that is being referred to always in the constellations. Listen to this, everybody. This is important. Anytime in the constellations you see a two-natured thing, it is always in reference to Jesus and his dual nature. Always. I'll show it to you a couple different times in the constellations, but nevertheless, listen to this one. This one has a head of a man and the horse. It's talking about Jesus. It says, a figure of a horse with a body, arms and a head of a man. He is drawn with a bow. An arrow is pointing at, guess who? The scorpion. Listen to this. Here's the picture of it. You can see the tail of the scorpion. This is actually backwards on the screen, but you can see the arrow is pointing right to the head of the scorpion. All right? Look at this, five. Capricornius. The goat, the figure of a goat sinking down as in death, with his hinder parts of his body being transformed into a vigorous tail of a fish. What did I just tell you? Anytime you see a dual nature of an animal, what are you seeing? Jesus. He's being represented. How is he being represented? Listen to it. At the very beginning of this, it shows a ram or a lamb dying. And at the tail, swooped around, coming to life. It represents the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus in the earth. Say, Pastor Charlie, are you sure? Listen to the deacons. Listen to the deacons, the smaller constellations that support it. Here's the first one. It is an arrow, killing dart, sent forth, naked shaft of death, the arrow of divine justice piercing through a lamb. Listen to this. Aquila, the eagle pierced and falling. The eagle is the symbol of Christ. Here's the third. Dolphin, springing up, raised out of the sea. A dolphin is leaping, the leaping fish signifying the resurrection of Jesus. Let me back it up. You ready? Let me tie some of this together. You ready? Let's go all the way back to Virgo. Virgo. She talks about the branch, the rod coming forth out of a virgin. How many of you know that's a miracle? Yes. All right? Coming to the scales. Scales were tipped against you. But the cross in the darkest part of time and darkest part of humanity is in the southern cross would come. It would be through a piercing of a man. I'm on second deacon. Third deacon is what? Anybody remember? The third deacon was what? The crown that the enemy was desiring to steal the crown from God. Who is the crown? Humanity is the crown that the enemy, Satan, was trying to deceive and get. He was trying to get. And then we've got, from there, we've got Scorpio. And all of Scorpio speaks to the existence that there is a real devil who's really out to steal, kill, and destroy. And the deacons support who the enemy is. Then you find out that there is this one right here coming forth. The arrowed man is going to shoot the arrow into the scorpion. He's going to destroy the power of the enemy. How is he going to do it? He's going to do it through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ in the earth. He's going to die as a lamb, but he's going to come back into new life. Now watch this. Now we're right here. Everybody here? All right, watch this next one. Next one is six. This one is Aquarius. It's the age of Aquarius. All right, anyway, there's a song about it. Yeah, all right. Yeah, all right. Anyway, Aquarius is the water man, figure of a man with a large urn, the contents of which he is being acted as pouring out over the great stream of the tile sky. Say, Pastor Charlie, what's that got to do with? Listen, after the enemy is destroyed through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, then you have the Spirit of God being poured out over all humanity. Everyone who desires to drink from the stream of God can drink from the fountain of God. You remember Jesus, he said to the woman at the well, he says, the water I have, honey, if you ever get a drink, this Charlie Riley amplified. If you ever get a drink of the water that I got, honey, you ain't never gonna want to thirst again. Right? Right? That's what he said. You say, well, Pastor Charlie, what about the fishes? I like the word fishes better than fish, because when I go fishing, I don't want to catch a fish. I want to catch fishes, which is multiple of fish. Here we go. Pisces is the fishes and is the figure of two large fish in the act of swimming. One northward and the other one is elliptic. The two natures of the church and the body of Christ being before Jesus and after Jesus. It is the Old Testament church, New Testament church. It is connected by a string in every one of the constellation maps you'll ever see. It is two fish connected by a long string. What it represents is the old covenant church and the new covenant church, connected by Christ himself joining the two together. See, because watch this, the enemy, then you have Jesus destroying the enemy, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, God pouring out his spirit upon all flesh. Then you have the Old Testament church being broke new to a New Testament church being in the earth. So now we, as a part of the resurrected church, are on the other side of what Jesus has already accomplished. Y'all get what I'm saying? Now we're halfway there in human history with the constellations. So watch this. Then you go to the next constellation. And again, on these, I'm not giving you the deacons, although the deacons support it. If you want a copy of my notes, I'll get you a copy of my notes. Actually, we're going to have them available next week because so many people have asked for them, okay? So if you want a copy, next week they'll be sitting out there for you. Next sign, Pisces, right up there. All right? Are the fishes. Yeah, we talked about that one already. Yeah, right. How about this? I got to hit the button. Aries, which is the ram. And by some nations, it's called the lamb. Either way, it doesn't matter. The meaning is the same. The figure of a strong sheep with powerful horns lying down, easy composure, looking over our over conscious strength over the field around it. The lamb who looks over the next two constellations as ruler and judge. So now we have the death, burial, and resurrection. We have the pouring out. We have the separation of Old and New Testament church. Now we have the Lamb who is the Ram who is glorified looking over the next two constellations as ruler and judge. How many of you know that's where Jesus is right now? Ruler and judge. Now watch this. Watch this. Number 9 is this. Taurus, the bull. Is a figure of shoulders, head, neck, horns, feet of a powerful bull with an attitude of rushing, pushing forward with great energy. The animal is pushing forward with great, outspread, sharp, irresistible horns to which the horns of the ordinary oxen were not to be compared. This speaks of the judgment of the Messiah, that he is pushing forward and his judgment is forever and his rule is forever. That's what it speaks of. I'm not making this stuff up. This has been in the world for 6,000 years. How many of you know this blows my mind? Blows my mind. When I got a hold of that book that was written in 1882, I thought to myself, Charlie Riley, you should write another book and make a bunch of money. Because people need to know this. People should not be told that the stars are just whatever. Matter of fact, listen to this. What do you think the Bible says whenever it says this right here? That the heavens declare. The heavens declare. They are a sign. They declare the glory of the Lord. They declare. I mean, think about it. They can take God out of school. They can take God out of the classroom. They can take God out of government. They can take God out of everything. Good luck getting God out of the sky. Good luck with that. Good luck. Good luck with that one. See, get this. The Taurus is Jesus, speaking of Jesus. Listen to this. The deacon that supports Taurus. Everybody knows where I'm at, right? Right over there. Right above there. Right there. Taurus. All right, the bull. Listen to the first deacon, first constellation in that cluster group. You ready? And I wanted to use this one because this was in Men in Black, Orion. So, it's, okay, you never seen Men in Black. All right, the deacon of Taurus, the first one is Orion. All right? It means the glorious prince. That's the name of Orion. The glorious prince. I can't make this stuff up. Orion is known through every culture in all the world, and it means the glorious prince. So you can't tell me it's not talking about Jesus. I could go on with the other two, but for the sake of time, I'm not going to. Get my notes and you'll see it all right there. Number 10, look at this. We're at 10, Gemini, the twins. Sometimes it's a man and a woman. Sometimes, usually though, it seems like it's two, either males or females. And it's usually two human figures closely united, seated together with endured affection. In some of the older representations, the figure is of this constellation consists of two goats. So sometimes it's not even two humans. Sometimes it's two goats with kids. Listen to this. There is no Christ apart from the church, and there is no church except for Christ. That's the twin nature of it. That you can't have church without Jesus, and you can't have Jesus without his body is limited. Jesus and the church go together, all right? Listen to this, 11. In the supporting constellations support all this. I'm not making this up. This is awesome. Number 11 is Cancer. It is a crab. Now, when I first read this one, I was like, what has a crab got to do with God? But listen to this. In the constellation, the pinchers are the focus. The crab is small and the pincher is huge. If you've ever seen, how many of you have ever seen it before? if you ever see it, the pincher is huge. And I used to think, what is all that about? Well, here's what it means. It means this. It is in the act of taking hold and holding on to the strong pincers and claws. Excuse me. In the Egyptian astronomy, grasping and holding onto a ball of its eggs that are deposited, it takes place of the crab. Who can separate us from the love of Christ? Is really what that constellation is all about. It's the crab. The focus is the claw, and the fact that the claw holds on and won't let go no matter what. That's what the whole constellation is about. And the supporting deacons support the idea that if you're held on by the claw, you can never be separated from it. Pretty awesome. Pretty awesome. Here's the last one, which is the most powerful one, I think. Leo, come on, the lion. He is the figure of great rampant lion. Listen to this. Leaping forth to rend with his 2 feet over the withered body of Hydra. Hydra is the snake that loops himself throughout the constellation. So get this. You remember I talked to you about right here, the head being on the serpent, you know? Well, get this. The lion is standing on Hydra, the snake, the serpent, which is in the act of fleeing. Who do you think that's talking about? Oh, no, it gets better. Because, see, if you thought it stood by itself, you'd be wrong. It has 3 deacons. Listen to the 3 deacons that support this star. Hydra is the first deacon. The fleeing serpent, trodden underfoot by the crab and the lion. That's stinking awesome, isn't it? Crater, the cup or a bowl of wrath on the serpent. Whenever you see it, I'm going to show you a picture of it here in a minute. It's a bowl being poured out onto a serpent. A bowl being poured out onto a serpent. And now get this. Corvus, which is the raven or the crow, a bird of doom tearing the serpent. I'll show it to you in a picture. Here's that constellation. See the serpent? Hydra? Everybody see that? Here's the Corvus picking at it in the crater, being dropped out on the serpent. Judgment. Leo the lion judging the enemy forever. How cool is that? Oh, don't act excited. And here's a picture of Leo the lion, the constellation of Leo. Leo the lion. Now, what's awesome, think about this. For 6,000 years, at least 6,000 years of human history, the stars have been in the sky. And every new moon, we have a new view. They're coming into focus. For 6,000 years of human history, the earth is being proclaimed the gospel day in, day out, day in, day out. A new aspect of the preaching of the gospel is over the earth each and every day of our life. How cool is that? Let me tell you what that tells me. Just a few things, a few little points that I pulled out of this. These things that it means to me. Number one, it means this. He is Lord of all and King of all the earth. He is King of kings and Lord of lords, and he rules over this place. And listen, and God so rules over it that even the heavens declare the glory of the Lord. So even when the Bible says this, that if we weren't to praise God, the rocks would cry out, I believe that to be true. I believe that to be true. Listen to this. Second thing right here is this right here. He cannot be removed from the heavens. You can take God out of everything, but God, guess what? The earth still has a witness in it. And it is the heavens declaring the glory of the Lord each and every day of our lives. Pretty awesome. Here's the third thing I want to say, and I'll stop with this. If he cares about the placement of the stars, you know he cares about us. I mean, I don't know about you, but I got this idea that God, you know, just went, achoo! And then it was like, oh, there they are. Okay, that'll work. You know, that's just the way I saw it. I was like, he sneezed, they were, and it's like, well, that's good. That'll work. I mean, I ain't got nothing else to do. Can I tell you that I don't believe that that's how it worked? I believe God purposely placed, and now watch this. He loves humanity so much that the only place you can see the constellations is if you're standing on the earth. Think about it. If you stand anywhere else, you can't see them. But if you stand in the earth, that's how much he loves us. People are like, well, Pastor Charlie, sure you believe in aliens. No, I believe in demons. I believe in demons, all right? Now, let me go a little bit further. Well, do you believe in life outside of the earth? Yeah, heaven. I believe there are life forms outside of the earth, and it's in heaven. You say, what are you really saying? Here's what I'm saying. The crown jewel of all God's creation is this earth. That's why the enemy hates it, and that's why the enemy would like to have control of it. And the crown jewel of all that God has ever created is mankind. And that's why before he even made man, he devised a way for him to communicate to man if he would just pay attention. The sad thing is, this was part of human history for 6,000 years. It's only been in the last couple hundred years that we lost the understanding of the zodiac. We actually lost it way back in Babylon, but the Jews kept it alive. But for the most part, American culture, we don't even know what they're about. We think it's our birthday. When really, all of this is about preaching the gospel to humanity for eternity. How many of you know that blows my mind? Does it blow your mind? Blows my mind, praise God. Blows my mind. Our God is awesome. He is powerful. He is awesome. So let me just take one more second here and just say this. If you thought the constellations were demonic, they were godly. If you thought they were put there by the devil, you're wrong. They were put there by God to declare to the world forever. As long as the earth remains, there's a constant witness of what God would do in the earth. And if we'll study it, we can find it, and it should blow our minds when we do. How many of you believe that? If you want a copy of my notes, next week we'll have them out there, all right? If you want a copy of that book, email the church. We'll send that copy of that Gospel in the Stars, 1882, send it to you, PDF or whatever, so you can have a copy of it. I, by no means, you know, I'm holding secrets. I want you to study it out too, because I don't know about you, it blows my mind. That our God is that awesome. Amen? All right, let me pray for you. Let me pray. Father, I pray for each and every person here today. Father, I pray that this right here would help anchor themselves to their faith, that they would see that the purpose of the stars is to declare your awesome work in the earth. Father, I pray that you bless your people. Lord, I pray that this will help strengthen their faith. And I pray that throughout this series, as we talk about things that will strengthen their faith, Lord, that you'll allow this thing to come alive in their heart. Now bless them and touch them. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Give the Lord one more clap. Praise God.